Hello, everyone, and happy June, July-ish. We're off this week, but we've got another episode of Never Been a Better Podcast in place of our normal podcast. So, take a break and travel back to a time when we used to say ridiculous things like, just download it all. Storage is cheap. Never Been a Better Podcast features a rotating crew of Austin Walker, Jeff Bacalar, Dan Reichert, and Abby Russell as they join me and Alex each month over on the Patreon side of things. This episode originally aired in April of 2023. I'm sure everything holds up just fine. And features guests Dan Reichert and Abby Russell. It's also been slightly edited to include ad breaks. If you want to hear more Never Been a Better Podcast, you can head over to Patreon.com/NextLander, where you'll find all the episodes and more. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll be back with the regular NextLander podcast next week.
And then it went like... One, two, three, four.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Never Been a Better Podcast. Alex Navarro. Those are big words. That's a big claim, Never Been a Better Podcast. But
this is a podcast of bold statements, bold proclamations.
Bold.
And also drinking on a Monday night.
Oh, man. It's one of the better parts of Never Been a Better Podcast. Abby Russell, how are you?
I didn't get the drink memo. I got friggin' plain water.
That's a drink. That's still a drink.
You're right.
Yeah,
and
it's a beverage. It counts.
Have that any night of the week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Everybody else has a matching whiskey drink, though.
It's true. It's Dan
nice
Reichert.
Glasses.
Hello.
Do you have a whiskey drink?
I have Johnny Walker Blue in my hand here. Yes.
What's the difference between a Johnny Walker Blue and a red?
Red is the shit I bought in college.
All right.
You got black, which is good, which is once I grew up and got a job. And then you got double black, which is when I want to treat myself. And then blue is the special occasion one. So blue is I think it's the highest tier, and that's my special occasion one, yes.
Rank as a special occasion.
Yes.
Hell yes.
Right.
Hey, listen, when you have been on a show and somebody goes, there's never been a better podcast, you break out the blue, man.
Yeah. That's
a, all right.
I'm on a lot of podcasts, and you say that there's never been a better one than this, I'll bring out the good stuff.
Hell yeah. I had no idea about all this.
Are you a whiskey guy now, Dan?
I've always been a whiskey guy. As far as like hard liquor, that's always been the one I go to. I was usually a beer guy more than anything, but yeah, whiskey's my go-to.
That's incredibly believable.
What, the beer part?
The beer part, yes.
But not like a Bacalar beer guy where it's like, the tannins,
literally any 12-pack they throw at your skull, you will drink.
Just Milwaukee's Best Light, thousands upon thousands of cans all through college. Like
thousands?
It's $14 for like a 30-pack. Yeah, let's just go to town.
I want everybody, nobody can see this at home, but I want the people recording this podcast, this is for you. We do this podcast for you, really. The people listening are great, but for you.
I mean, that's just objectively true. Yeah. Yes, we do this for the people who listen to it.
No, I'm saying I do this for you guys, mostly, because I want to hang out with you guys. But Abby and Alex, I want you just to imagine Dan is sitting in a normal-sized chair and is just tiny. Because right now, that chair looks so big.
He does look like a child.
I need to just stay there. I just need to grab a screenshot of that. Just don't move at all. There we go. That's the business.
You are lovely so potty. Tiny. Wow.
Why are you so
I'm a normal-sized man. I'm a very average-sized man.
He is. He's incredibly normal-sized.
Wow. I am 5'10 and a half. I weigh 187 pounds. That's across the board. Pretty standard.
Dan, if you have to say the half inch out loud, you've already lost that battle. I'm sorry.
I know I'm not a tall man. I'm not saying that to me. I used to clock in at 5'11", but then some have said 5'10 and a half. So I'm trying to like downsize myself and not over, I'm not one to trumpet myself up.
Hey,
like that.
We all lose about a half inch of shin, every year or so once we hit a certain age. Yes.
Wait, am I going to go under 6 feet? Am I going to be? Cause it was so
my dad's under 6 feet now.
Oh my gosh. It was
Is it
so
a
much
neck
easier.
Thing? Do we get like a Mr. Burns neck thing or we're kind of hunched over?
I don't think there's one universal reason for the shrinkage. It just kind of is one of those things that comes with time.
Cold weather.
It's
it's universal. Mm-hmm. How's everybody doing out there? Doing well?
Woo!
Yeah, Abby.
Abby's in kind of a big chair also.
Yeah, no, you're like
in a gamer chair.
Appropriate size chair, I think. That's a big cat, though.
Yeah.
Normal sized cat.
Tater Tot wanted to come up, so here he is.
Tater.
Viewers at home. He's big. He's round.
He's giving you the butt.
Yeah, he's got a big butt in your face.
Yeah.
Dan, did you get snow in Connecticut?
We got some. Not a lot. Yeah. It all melts pretty quick. So
no shoveling for you?
I don't think I've ever shoveled snow.
You never got enough snow to have to shovel since you've been in that house?
We have people that come by and do it.
Oh, okay.
If it gets over 3 inches, like they come by automatically, and then otherwise we just drive over it. Yeah.
Oh, like you pay them
on the sidewalk?
Well, yeah, it's not like the guy in Home Alone that's just like shoving people's driveway. Like, no.
This is
America. We would never have someone that did something like that.
No, it's the guys that mow the lawn. They also, when it switches to winter, that's their whole business model changes. Then they shovels. But they fucked up my driveway lights. But I don't want to go into that again.
Oh,
I installed driveway lights, and I was very proud of myself. And they came by, and their plow tore them up, and now I have holes all up in my driveway because I fucking... Yeah, anyway. That's
messed up.
The volume of that statement leads me to believe there is some lingering animosity there.
Only because I was proud of myself, because you guys know I'm not the handiest fella, and like I went out there with a fucking drill, and I did pilot holes and asphalt, and I fucking put anchors in asphalt with a hammer. It took me hours. I'm out there for hours putting these lights in. I got the nice lights. I installed them. They looked amazing. These solar lights that like it kind of just like for Ubers and delivery drivers for them to be able to see at night when they drive in. And I remember when I was done, it was really one of those rare moments I've had where I look at it and I look over my work and I'm like, I did a good job here. And then the fucking first snow, they come by and the plow just crack, 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 and it just broke all the lights, fucking tore up by the anchors, asphalt out.
That does suck, but it's also incredibly funny, Dan.
It is. That's
terrible. So you can't even put them back. You have to re-asphalt all that area.
I tried. I went out there with new anchors and stuff. I went out there, but it's all fucked up. Because a lot of the old anchors are still in there, but all mashed up and fucked up, and I can't get them out.
Did the plow people, like, fess up, or did you have to discover it and they just pretended?
I discovered it, and also like I was like, can I even be upset about this? Like they were just doing their job. They couldn't see it. They were doing the snow, you know. Like it was. I didn't complain or anything. It's just
got put little flags on them all. Like like they put on fire hydrants when the snow gets too high.
They do that with the sprinklers in the front yard, so they aerate the lawn. They don't step on it.
Yeah, that's another thing you don't want to run over and not and tear out.
Yeah, this house stuff is a whole thing.
Yeah, is your basement still good? You got I want to say last time we talked, there was some other critter down there. Wasn't the newts?
What kind of nightmare animal is there now?
There was a snake. There was a snake. We had the salamanders.
We found one mouse.
Yeah. There's been some stuff down there, but I think we're pretty good right now.
Do the dogs help with the rodents?
No, they don't go down to the basement.
Noted.
No, they've never been down there.
Wow, fascinating.
They run around in the backyard?
Razor does. Razor's good. Frisbee is his favorite thing in the world. It's one of the only things that I think calms his soul. So we do that now that it's getting nice outside again. Gizmo doesn't know what the fuck to do. He just bounces around and eats grass and freaks out. And that's what to do. Yeah, we just don't trust him outside, really. But Razor's just locked onto the Frisbee all the time. So he's cool.
Is it fenced in the backyard?
No.
Oh, okay. So he could just tear out of there and Gizmo caca right out of
there. We err on the side of caution there.
Okay, that's good. Good to hear. Mm-hmm. Abby, have you ever taken your cat for a walk with a leash?
I have. So Tater Tot is one of those cats where he wants to go outside, and then you let him outside, and he runs 4 feet and is like, "Oh my god, the world is huge, and I'm scared." So him on a leash is like, "Whoa, what's going on? I'm scared." He doesn't really go very far. And then Dirt Bike, when I had her, I would try to do a leash with her, and she was pretty brave, but she didn't enjoy wearing the harness. So she would be like confidently walking around, and then every 3 feet, she would just do a little barrel roll to try to get the harness off of her back.
Would it get all tangled up and you'd have to like stop, and or is it kind of spin around?
I mean, we didn't do it that often. Okay. So. But yeah, she would get a little tangly, but mostly was just like, get this thing off of me. I got to go explore.
You ever do the weird backpack thing with like an astronaut helmet and you can see the cat's head poking out?
No, he does have a backpack, which is how I got him to California on an airplane. And let me tell you, if you want people to talk to you at an airport, this is how to do it. Put a cat in a backpack and everybody loves you. Everybody's happy to see you.
Oh,
I don't know how anyone travels with pets, because it's like, you can get, it's easy enough to get like emotional support papers and stuff for dogs, but like that doesn't really fly, no pun intended, with like getting them on flights and stuff like that.
No.
I've seen it. So are they just paying like hundreds of dollars to like have the
I
dog
can
up
tell
there
you. I can't mm-hmm. tell you so much for a dog, but I can tell you exactly what you're doing for a cat. You pay an extra fee, and then you make sure you have a carrier that fits under the seat in front of you, and you take them through security. So this is a hot tip for folks out there. Okay. You also might need to get like all of their shots and stuff done and have paperwork that yes. was like they have been checked up within the last 10 days usually to get these shots done. Depends on the state you're traveling between. Anyway, hot tip if you got a cat, because you do have to take them through security and they're going to be like, okay, take your cat out of the bag. And that is absolutely bananas bonkers to me that they'd be like, just have a loose cat in the airport. I'm like, no. That's not a good idea. But what you can do is you can ask for a private security room, and then you take your cat in the bag into the private security room. You unzip, you let your cat out. They take the bag through the thing, and then you shove your cat in the bag, and then you're good to go. Highly recommend.
That's a good tip.
Yes. Another good tip is get them used to like a yummy, meaty baby food and have them like train in the bag for like 2 weeks leading up to the flight. I did so much research to fly Tater Tot across the country. It was wow. like... I really know how to do it. You can also go to your vet and get like an anti-anxiety medication, which is also useful. Another hot tip, which I had to research because I had a huge unexpected layover while transporting Tater Tot across the country. Cats can go without pooping and peeing for 48 hours.
I didn't know that.
You're kind of covered. Yeah. So you're.
They won't like it, but they can.
Yeah, it's okay. Like, because I took him out at like a hotel that the airline put me up in and was like, ooh, there's no litter box. I don't know. And he was completely fine. No problem at all.
Are there like cat poop rooms at airports the way there are like maternal rooms and yoga rooms sometimes and showers?
They also have dog rooms, but I don't really? Know about that. Yeah, they have like little dog like grass pads.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's for service dogs, I think, primarily, but also just for if you're traveling with your dog, they'll have little like... grass paddy rooms or whatever. But anyway,
nice.
I would love.
I have not
have
seen a litter
ones.
Box.
Yeah, like a giant litter box. You open the door, there's a giant litter box.
Just a bunch
like...
of cats shitting in it.
Yes, but not talking to it, just kind of sitting there, not talking, like not playing or anything. You're like, we're cats. What are we supposed to do?
I've learned that smokers love airports because it's like there's not a place anymore that you can just like step out and smoke. And like my dad, every time he's in an airport, he's so pissed off. Like, everyone's just a baby about smoking now. Everyone's a baby. Why can't I just smoke a cigarette? And like really upset.
There was a time smoking where it was like, I feel like you realize being in an airport and smoking. When I was smoking, I would be in an airport and you realize like, This is a bad habit. I'm in this little glass room, like with a bunch of people just getting their fix before going in. Like we all stink, and there's just like writing help in the like on the on the window. Be like, this habit controls you.
I get it. The thing is, I totally understand why smokers feel like they are maligned at this point, and like the world is against them. But I also have to remind them that like. Go watch any movie or TV show from the 1970s. Everyone was smoking all the time, everywhere, always. And the current smoking regulations are essentially an overcorrection in the other direction to combat that, where you could not go anywhere and not be just bombarded with that shit.
I mean, listen.
I didn't know they even had those things, that, like that what Vinny's describing. I didn't know that rooms? Until I went to like Denmark years ago, and I was like, what the fuck is that? It's this tiny little like cattle room where they're all just smoking.
It's so weird.
Like, what's that from like the 60s?
Yellowed windows.
Like,
it's so weird. Insane. It's like, could you imagine? You can't even get like a bottle of hand sanitizer on a plane now. Imagine being able to sit on a plane and just light up a cigarette and just be like, So I'm just going to smoke here on this plane right now. I'm just going to actually take out a lighter, first of all. Yeah. And then I'm going
to
take
it. Can you move your baby so I can get to the ashtray?
Yeah. I'm going to make fire happen on this plane.
The idea of a smoking section of an airplane is a genuinely hilarious concept. Like, the idea that somehow you can cordon that off in any meaningful way.
I mean, listen, that air is so recycled, it's probably going right up into the thing. But yes, being a seat away and be like, well, you're not in the smoking section. Being like,
no.
Okay, well, yes, that makes sense. Yeah, like a little, I don't know if you guys remember it, but the airplanes used to have the flip-up ashtray on the seats.
Oh yeah, the tiny little metal thing.
I remember.
Yeah. Like, could you imagine just like opening up one of those, just like ashes in there? And, like, it's such a different time. Just like, well, it's like, so weird.
I feel like you would see them on planes and also cars and stuff, like for many years past the point where you would actually see people smoking. Like even like the power thing is, it feels like a relic from, you know, when it was a cigarette lighter port on the car. You know what I mean?
It costs and a lot of money to make a new plane is the problem.
Oh, yeah.
So like all those seats that, you know, like they were already just, you know, around, like they're not going to get rid of those until they absolutely have to. So all that stuff was just kind of left over.
How many burns must have there been on, like, seat stuff and, like, you know, somebody drops their cigarette on a plane and it just rolls back and just, like, because you smoke a cigar? I assume you could smoke a cigar. I mean, listen, I never flew when you could smoke on a plane. I feel like smoking
baby
on
Huey
a plane.
In the back there crying, smoking a stogie.
I never smoked, but I once kind of ate a bowl of cigarettes.
Ew, Dan, no.
There's a good reason.
Short question from the back. Dan has a comment about Dan. You wanted to add something to the discussion.
I was in high school, and we had to do. I was in video production class, and we had to do PSAs. And one of them I picked was anti-smoking PSA. Mm-hmm. And I think I just tried to make it as stupid as possible. It's like, oh, here's the slippery slope or whatever. And it's like I pretended to smoke a cigarette at the beginning. And then I was like smoking a bunch of cigarettes. And then it was just like I had a bowl filled with cigarettes. And it's just this black and white grainy footage of me going, hey, like pouring milk over the cigarettes and having to spoon. Like just eating all these cigarettes. And I was actually chewing them and stuff.
Ew.
And I was like, don't get to this point. You know, like,
well, you succeeded. You made it as stupid as possible. Good job.
That's really
wow.
That's so
I gotta
messed.
Find that. I've got that somewhere.
Daniel Bartholomew Riker. What the hell is wrong with you?
Make myself laugh.
Just give me one. Like just give me one concession here, and please tell me you didn't go to random ashtrays to get all those cigarettes like in public.
No,
place.
I think I might have been 18, but I had a fresh thing of Marlboros, I think, that I used. So, okay. Yeah, nothing gross like that. My dad, I can't tell you how many times my dad has been in a parking lot or something, and he's reached down, and he's like, oh, my God, there's like half of the cigarette left. I'm just like, smoking.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
No.
Yeah.
I feel like
that's when
like, your addiction's too much. You know
cigarettes
what I mean?
Are expensive.
That's, like, the wake-up call.
No, that was my friend.
I'm
in
sorry.
Case my dad hears this, no, he always bends down to get the crumpled up cigarette things to get the reward points.
Oh,
that's
right.
Different.
That's
very
normal.
Different.
Wait, what are reward points with cigarettes?
Well, no, it's not normal, but it's fine.
Where if you smoke for 800 years, you get like a shitty turntable or something, like just the dumbest shit, or a duffel bag.
They
and,
still do that? They still
yes,
do the miles
yes.
and stuff?
The reward points. Yeah, it's basically just like
send you
my
the
reward
leg lamp from A Christmas Story.
No,
right.
It was my friend Mike that used to actually smoke the cigarettes. That's right. I want to be fair to my gross dad's
story. Okay.
Do you draw a line?
Yeah, your dad has some dignity at least.
Yes.
Some.
I realize that, yeah, like none of you guys ever smoked like as an adult, yeah?
No.
I would not, have the a very New York and be like, oh, my friends are all out at a bar.
Sure.
I've had a drink or two. Yeah, I'll bum a cigarette, but I've never been addicted to cigarettes and I've never like smoked regularly enough that it's a thing. You know what I mean?
My one or two social cigarettes a year.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
It's deeply unpleasant if you don't smoke. I've had a couple of those times at bars where it's like, yeah, whatever, I'll take one. And then it's like, oh my God, you're just coughing terribly. It's not pleasant. You would have to think about, like, if you go to a certain bar, like this bar, the Red Balloon, where my parents met back in the 80s, my favorite bar in Kansas, and, like, it used to be before they outlawed the cigarette stuff, you would have to think ahead of time where it's like, okay, I got to wear clothes that I'm sure, like, I immediately need to throw these in the hamper when I get back because these are going to be pungent for days. So, yeah, you just knew when it was a concession you had to make when you went to certain bars.
I was just talking to my older brother last night, and I was like, when was the last time you had a cigar?
At Cody Rhodes' house. At Cody Rhodes' house in 2016 with Wade Barrett and Cody.
Okay, 2016. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I feel like I probably smoked a cigar with old roommates when I was like 20. That
when
was like, yeah,
so
we're
year.
All going to get pipes. Yeah. And we're all going to smoke cigars.
Like the old
time
pipe
was like,
thing?
Well, yeah. I still have my corncob pipe.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Alex, when was the last time you had a cigar? Earnestly, not like as a gag or like you're doing a bit.
I think I remember a friend pulling me aside at some point at some social function and saying like, "Oh, let's have a cigar," because he had some.
Sure.
I want to say sometime in the last 10 years,
like some kind of wedding or
it probably wasn't even that. It was like a small like social function,
sweet 16.
Yeah, exactly. Quinceañera.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Bris.
When was the last time you had what do they call it, a cigarillo? What are the
whatever?
That the Hunter S. Thompson thing, the big,
the little
long
skinny
one?
Ones
like,
that are.
I feel like. Does
sweet?
Anybody have those? I thought you just buy them to roll blunts.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that didn't have weed in it.
Yeah.
was the
well, they started selling rolling papers in greater like quantities, so I think no one has to do that anymore.
It was funny. My wife, we were just going through some like old stuff that she had, and she takes out this little, it's not an Altoid tin, but it might as well be. And she opens it up. She's like, come take a look at this. And it's all her old weed paraphernalia from
the
90s. Oh, yeah. It was like a one hitter. I think mine was still in there. I don't think anybody uses combustion anymore to really smoke weed. I feel like it's all oils and edibles and,
yes.
You know.
It's way more convenient. Yes,
yeah.
Actually, some people have PAXs, so to speak.
Well, that's the thing. In New York, I got a PAX, and those are convenient, and they're nice, and it feels clean. It's like a little
vaporizer pen.
It's like thicker than that. It's like basically for like dry herb, they call it. Then it has like a little oven. So it's like a vaporizer, but it's not for like the liquid stuff. But
it's like a much smaller, compact version of like the thing, the volcano, like the thing I have.
Yes.
But you still have to like take a little like mesh circle and fold it into a taco shape and put it in there, and you have to break up all the weed and take the stems out and then like put it in there, and you got to use PVC pipe to clean it out. And it is a pain in the ass still versus these like vape pens and stuff, which are just like hold the button for 2 seconds.
Oh,
you know?
Sure. It's a more like analog experience. It's the acoustic
That's
version.
Right.
Yes,
yeah, really, it's warmer. You can really feel the tones.
Right.
I don't want to alarm anyone, but. The person who I was referring to, the cigar, the person who I'm pretty sure is the last person who got me to smoke cigar, within 60 seconds of me saying that, texted me for the first time in over a month to say, fuck, John Wick, fuck, just amazing, fuck.
We should have a cigar. Let's go have a cigar.
I'm just saying,
that's
the timing.
That's crazy.
Is that, is there a new John Wick?
I saw it, yeah.
The fourth.
Oh, wow.
Him?
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. I think with that series, I really love one. I think I might have loved two a little more. And then three and four, I think, are really good. They get a little bloated. They get a little
overlong. Three was a little bloated to me.
This is that way, too. It's really, really good.
Okay.
But I would say one's probably still my favorite. It's a real straightforward story. Two did the right amount of kind of world building and like all the kind of mystery and the concierge and all that stuff. And then three and four get a little too much for me. But
a little episode ass.
A little bit, but it's still really good.
Is three the one with the like fun house at the end?
That's like the big lights thing with Mark Dacascos.
Like a lot of mirrors and
there's
stuff
also a
like
mirror
there,
thing that's with what's her name? Ruby Rose, yes.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's all three?
That I think is all
right.
Three.
Yeah, okay. They kind of blend together outside of the first one.
Which one? Isn't there one with like a horse in it? Which one's the horse one?
Two, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe two.
Just curious.
There's a horse in this one, too. Four. Yeah.
You saw it at a theater, Dan?
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of only go to theaters if we're super duper excited about something and we want to have that kind of theater experience. So, like, we did it with Creed 3, did it with John Wick 4. You know, like a Fast and Furious, we'll do that. But not that often. We kind of just like
did
watch
the
movies
new
at home.
Puss in Boots in theaters.
Oh, man.
I didn't know there
Vinny,
was an original
you?
One.
Did you see the new Puss in Boots, Vinny?
My kids saw it in a theater, and they loved it. And the person they went to go see it with loved it. And I really want to see it.
Vinny, it's so good.
It.
There's one line in
awesome.
It that's so funny. I still think about it all the time.
Is it there's a boot in my puss?
Oh, so you have seen it.
That's a kids film, Vinny.
Let me just think of movies and kids. Let me ask you a question.
Oh,
this
wait,
is
I
want to
hear the line.
Thing.
Wait, I want to hear the line. What's the line?
Oh, I'll spoil it for everyone. The greatest line in the
I've
movie.
I've seen both the movies, so. Yeah.
Okay. There's like this little Jiminy Cricket guy who's like the conscience of the like enemy in the movie who's just killing people left and right. Just left and right. And he keeps trying
real
to give him like
shit.
Moral stuff. And then he like kills a bunch more people. And then the Jiminy Cricket guy's like, oh, I'm starting to think you don't appreciate the value of human life. And it's just very funny.
All right.
It's important to mention this cricket talks exactly like Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. This is present day Vinny again. We'll be back with more Never Been a Better podcast after this quick break. All right. Yes, Dan.
I'm trying on a new gimmick lately that I'm enjoying. I'm sure everyone else does. Where I criticize the parenting abilities of people who have kids as someone who doesn't have kids. It seems to be a crowd pleaser.
Damn. Okay, oh, yeah, so good. Fucking love that shit. God.
Do me.
I can't get enough of it.
No, so I want to ask a question here because this is legitimate here. Okay, so back, Laurie's got a 7-year-old kid, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay.
What did you do?
If you had a 7-year-old kid, and Vinny, I know you can speak from some experience here.
Yeah, I have a
7-year-old. Would you let your 7-year-old watch Jaws?
No.
I think I would say no.
Well, it's very kid dependent. I think my 8-year-old and my 10-year-old would not appreciate the terrifying nature of Jaws. It's not the gore or anything. It's the like threat, constantly under threat part of Jaws. I think it would be very
the
scary
tension
for them. Yeah. I think they wouldn't enjoy that. They wouldn't want to watch it. I would have to force them to sit and watch it.
I also think for a child, that'd be a pretty dull movie. And I also think
I was a little kid. It was one of my favorite movies. It's like a 5-6-year-old. Like, it's so exciting.
Okay.
I know people who will like expose their kids to like horror movies and stuff like that. But Jaws, I think, can be pretty terrifying at parts. But you think you watched it when you were 7?
Yeah, well, I saw Terminator 2 when I was 7 in the theaters. Yeah. And so it's like, I guess in my perspective, it's like when I was, my youngest memories are like playing Mario and obsessing over Terminator and watching Predator and, you know, like all these action movies and stuff, and Mortal Kombat nonstop. And I guess, so whenever I hear about like, oh no, my kid couldn't see Jaws, it's like, that's a kid's movie. It's PG.
Oh,
it's fucking like, that's
okay. That's getting into a whole thing about the PG rating.
Well, PG-13 wasn't around yet.
PG-13 came around. Yeah.
I know. But also, isn't there something about like, at some point, a kid has to like learn that there are scary things in the world, right? Like, why not like do it in a fun, safe way? I see it as a roller coaster. It's fun because it's scary, but you know you're safe.
Yeah, everybody's safe. Quint was safe. Everybody's safe. Quinn walks away at the end. He's like,
but
yar,
as the viewer,
I guess we didn't need a bigger boat after all.
Nothing children love more than Roy fucking Scheider.
Yeah.
Yes, kids love Roy Scheider.
Emotional distress is still distress, even if you're safe.
But I don't consider, like, was that distress? Like, when I was a kid and watching it, I was like, oh my God, I'm so into this. Are you distressed when you see a horror movie?
Dan, here's what it is. You and I are of a different, like, it's not even a generational thing. It's just that you and I were kids that actively sought out shit we weren't supposed to see or weren't supposed to, like, have exposure to. That's what we did. And we were willfully exposing ourselves to stuff that we knew was potentially going to, you know, psychologically fuck us up in some way or another if we saw it too young. But we didn't care because it was exciting. Not every kid is like that. And I think parents are right to make the decision as far as, like, is that my child ready to absorb something like this? And, you know, if the kid really cares enough about going and seeing it on their own, they'll find a way.
I mean, my mom took me to the theater to see Terminator, you know, like,
if my kid asked, I would take them. Yeah. Like, if my kid were like, yeah, my daughter keeps watching the Megan trailer and she's like, and she's like,
awesome.
And she's like, and I'm like, do you want to try watching the movie? And she's like, no, I just don't want to watch this trailer again. You know, cause the trailers are usually pretty, you know,
they don't show it.
Tame.
Yeah.
I'm like, my wife is like, are you really gonna like watch Megan with your 8-year-old? I was like, if she wanted to, I would watch it until, cause my kids both would also stand up and be like, that's enough. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah. You know,
like, that's a pretty violent movie. Even I would kind of be like, that's
More than Jaws. Yeah. I mean, Jaws is.
Yes, definitely.
But like Jaws, like Alex said, like, were you enraptured by the politicking of the, we're going to close the beach, we can't close the beach. Parts
by the
of
raw
like,
sexual magnetism of Richard Dreyfuss.
Or like the 30 minutes on a boat of like, you don't understand the money that comes in and out of Cape whatever. Like, I can't close the beach.
I think I genuinely loved it as a film, as like a little kid. I think like, I also said I'm never getting in the ocean ever. Like, I said, that's just never going to happen. Like, I was terrified of the ocean.
Gee,
but
I wonder what would have possibly caused you to think
Jaws,
that maybe being
that
in the ocean should be dangerous.
But then I grew up and I realized that was stupid and I got in the ocean. It's fine.
See,
you know?
I would,
like,
I would probably watch Jaws 3D with the kids before Jaws 1 because that's just pure action, baby.
It's very stupid. Yeah.
That's
I saw that as a kid too. That was a very dumb one.
So I saw that as a kid too as well in 3D, And that I probably saw that too young. I don't know when that movie came out, but it's probably sometime in the 80s. And like,
I'd say late 80s, probably.
I might have seen that at a drive-in in 3D.
How old?
Hot of phosphate.
Should you be before you experience Lou Gossett Jr. watching a shark coming directly at him at roughly half a mile an hour?
Abby, have you seen Jaws 3D?
No, I have seen just the first Jaws, and I thought
it was the right way to do it.
Just okay.
I love Jaws. Right. I think on our watch cams, we watched it for our movie podcast. I think Jaws is still number one. No. That's not true.
You said The Thing was number one.
The Thing is number one. That movie's still
great. Number one what?
Of the things we've watched.
Wow. Okay.
Of movies we've watched. We watched The Thing, and number one, The Thing is The Thing.
But Jaws was like number two on your list.
Yeah, yeah. I think Jaws is great. I think The Thing is, even watching it, we watched it for Film in 40s, right?
We also did The Thing for Film in 40s.
Yeah, that movie's good.
And The Blob.
It's awesome.
And that They Live. I remember people really yelled
at
me
for that
one.
We never did the Blob.
No, yeah, I thought we did the Blob because I remember there was like somebody in like a phone booth who turned into goo.
Wait.
Well, the Blob was one of the ones we did the year we did Film in 40s Halloween when we were during the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
That was the one we did from home.
Oh, what?
Wait, I wasn't there.
I was
going
to say, that doesn't ring a bell to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember this well.
It was like Yumi and Jan, I think.
Man.
Maybe one other person.
Fascinating. It might have been. There was like a Film in 40s that it was like kind of run by like me, Jan, and Ben. We did like all the Disney Channel originals. We might have done like horror movies. Maybe that was one that like.
That was the one we did during the pandemic.
Yeah.
I'm reading The Running Man now, and it's very different than the
Stephen
movie.
King?
Yeah.
I think I started that one. I never finished it.
Is that one of his Bachman books?
It's a Bachman one, yeah.
I love the Bachman ones. You should read The Long Walk. I think The Long Walk is such a good book. I think it's one of Stephen King's best. It was like his first under Bachman, I think. It's so good. I mean, some parts don't age super well, like all Stephen King books, but...
I've never read a Stephen King book, and like my dad was obsessed with King books, and like I've seen a million movies and stuff based on his stuff, and I love it. And like just from what I've read so far of The Running Man, it's like, oh man, am I going to get really into Stephen King here?
You should.
Like,
you should also get into Joe Hill, who is his son, who I think his work is honestly better.
His son's a writer?
Yeah, he has.
Oh,
I think both of his sons are writers, but I don't know. I think the other one's like Owen. I've never read his stuff, but Joe Hill is very good.
Okay.
Is it horror as well?
It's mostly horror, yeah. Or like horror adjacent. I feel like it's more of an emotional horror, which I like.
I couldn't, like...
Trying to follow in your father's footsteps.
Seriously,
like
you couldn't pick a different genre? I want to write horror too. Like, okay, good luck. How many books did you write, Dad? It's infinite because they keep going. They will never stop.
Vinny. This is where you don't understand the nepotism baby. He started from the beginning writing little stories. He gets expertise from the fucking greatest.
That's
you kidding
true.
Me? Of course he's going to be a horror writer.
His first book was published at six. He was you're right. He got a jump start with the nepo baby. You're right. I forgot that term.
But you got to be careful with that, though, because if the parent is not particularly supportive or helpful in that regard, that can just be like years and years of emotional damage if it doesn't work out.
Just
like,
succession.
Look what happened to Hayao Miyazaki's son. That dude,
That
dude's going to need therapy for the rest of his fucking life.
Well, what I'll say is, even if Hayao Miyazaki's son didn't try to get into anime, I don't know his deal. He probably would have still needed therapy if that's how it went, is what I'll say.
Distinctly possible, but yeah, Goro has tried to become an animation director after not starting out his career as one.
Oh, fascinating.
And there's like footage of Hayao like seeing his first movie and walking out of the theater and just be like shaking his head.
Oh.
Like,
is this a Vincent Shane situation?
It's definitely That Boy Ain't Right kind of situation.
Okay.
Was it a bad
movie? That boy does not have the juice.
That's terrible.
I guess I have read some Stephen King because I just remembered I had it when I was in fifth grade. And I got like halfway through it. And speaking of like stuff when you're too young, it was like graphically descriptive in some of that horror stuff that like I had never like, and I was getting kind of freaked out. And I remember my dad found out I was reading it. And my dad's like, nope, you're not allowed to read that.
Going back to the kids stuff since it came up again, I knew someone and I thought this was pretty cool where their parents were like, you can watch whatever you want to watch, but we're going to watch it together. And we have to discuss it afterwards.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool.
Smart.
And it was like, let the kid choose. But like, we're going to talk about it. So,
yeah,
I'm going to
need you to write a report on this.
Yes.
I tell my kids they can read whatever they want. As long as you can read whatever you want, as long as I know what you're reading and we could talk about it. You can pick any book off the bookshelf.
I will say I was a big reader growing up. Oh my God, I read all the time. And we would like go as a family to the bookstore. I would pick out a book. And because they're books, my parents couldn't really vet them. Mm-hmm. I read so many books beyond my years. I learned a lot from books. But I think that that's different than doing a movie in some ways. I don't know. Maybe it's not. But
I think it is. I mean, you're using your I personally think you're using your imagination more to conjure up the pictures. And so, you know, maybe sometimes it's worse or better. But, you know, you're not being fed the imagery like Quint being eaten by a weird mechanical shark as he falls into it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
Jaws was a book.
Jaws was a book.
I wonder if I should read that. Is it a good book? Peter Brinsley?
I've never
By
read
By all
it.
Accounts, it is, in fact, a fairly dumb book. okay. But well, they, you the know, let's then. Just say the movie is punching above the book's weight, I think.
Wow. Okay.
My kids wouldn't watch Jurassic Park. Like, I've tried
Dude,
to
that
watch.
Movie is so scary. I don't know why people show that to kids. I watched that as an adult. I'm like, this is horrifying. I think because they're dinosaurs, they're like, it's a kid's movie. It's so scary.
That's what's fun about it. The goat, where's the goat part and everything? It scared the shit out of me as a kid in the theater, but I was like, it was that thrill, that roller coaster.
That's where they checked out. They checked out at the T-Rex. They're like, we're out. We're done.
Really?
It's so scary.
Yeah.
Every child of my generation knows where they were and when they were in the world when they saw Newman get torn apart by little dinosaurs. Yes.
Oh, he gets no. It's off screen. He gets spit
he
in the face.
A lot.
Doesn't he? Doesn't he get?
He gets spit in the
blinded.
Face and and he falls back. Yeah, and you just see him like rocking in the car. No, he gets into the car. He looks over, and the Dilophosaurus is somehow in the Jeep, and then
that guy got eaten on the toilet.
Yes,
that's just a funny time there.
That's
like, that's hilarious.
Yes.
That's objectively funny. My kids are very like, I want mac and cheese, and I want the movies we want, and it's always like. When I'm like, well, we should try this movie. Like, we tried to watch Elf, and they were like, you think this is funny, Dad?
Elf doesn't hold up?
They're like the worst critics. They'll just sit arms folded. Like, if you ask them to watch something, you'd be like, oh, that's funny? Oh, okay, yeah, sure. You like a man who dresses up and pretends he's an elf. That's funny to you.
Oh, so they're snobs. Okay, show them like Lebowski. Show them Lebowski and see if they like that.
Your son is a professional comedian.
Yeah. That's why he just kind of sits there and won't laugh at anything. It's just like, he just...
What does he think is funny?
What does he think is funny? You know, Pokemon.
Is it Vines or something?
No.
TikToks,
Vines, like TikTok?
Oh, right. Crawl out of your cave, Dan.
I love a good.
I thought I was making
plot.
A hip reference.
Oh man, Red Vines. Boy, they were a little ahead of their time, huh?
I meant to say TikTok.
Like, what is he? He's got a great sense of humor. I think he's got a comfort zone. You know, it's like he doesn't want to. If given the opportunity to watch something, he wants to watch something that he is like knows he's gonna love and doesn't want to leave it up to chance. And so
okay.
Like, he'll watch. He thinks the Sonic movies are very funny. He thinks, you know,
like in a Mad Magazine or anything.
See, Cracked. He's a huge Cracked fan. Mad Magazine though. I mean, we're gonna go see that Mario movie. I'm sure he's gonna think that's super funny.
Probably will be.
That movie's gonna kill. That movie's gonna make so much.
It's gonna do very well, isn't it?
Are you gonna see that in the theaters, Dan?
We just got our tickets today. We're gonna see it in San Diego.
Wow. Oh, okay. You're going to see it pre-screening or whatever?
Me, Grub, and Jan got tickets together, yeah.
Oh, that's fun. That'll be a fun crowd, I'm sure, too.
Family movie time.
Is Chris Pratt going with you?
Yeah, he's going. We don't like to advertise it, but yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Well, you enjoy your children's pablum.
Yeah.
I'm watching real cinema, like the 1993 Super Mario Brothers film. Thank you very much.
I just watched that for the first time, and honestly, loved
thoughts?
It. I thought it was great.
Wait, are you kidding?
I was inspired.
We're watching that tonight to talk about it on our watch.
I did just watch it tonight.
Yeah.
Really? Can I come?
I have to watch that. That's so funny. You just
watched
it?
Yeah, you want
to
be on the podcast
tomorrow? Yes.
Oh my gosh, you should come join us.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, we're recording tomorrow. We can talk after this podcast.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Like, Brad had never seen it. You've never seen it before either?
I had never seen it.
Oh, that's
It's
great.
Truly buck wild in it a way is. That literally would not be allowed today.
Yeah. How did y'all watch it? We found a hard time watching it. Like
I saw
finding
the theaters,
like finding a place for
the podcast. Saying now. Yeah.
Yes,
I bought an out of print Blu-ray of it.
Oh, nice!
I watched Alex's out of print Blu-ray.
Nice legal borrowing.
I went to his. I went to his house, quote unquote.
My lending library.
I see.
For films.
I don't know if I have a copy anymore of that. I feel like I did at one point. maybe from...
You probably have that DVD copy that's been around forever.
Yeah.
I've got that here, yeah.
Yeah.
From Tang, maybe, when we did it for Tang?
Probably.
Yes. That movie is dumb ass, but like...
First time I saw it, I was in the parking lot leaving the theaters with my dad, and I said, Dad, that's the best movie I've ever seen, and he won't let me forget that.
I mean... I
was only 25.
you know, it's... I don't remember what I thought. I just remember they made a Mario Brothers movie. And like that was my memory of it at the time. Like, that's awesome. They made a Mario Brothers.
Very barely they did.
But it was still Mario Brothers, like, you know.
Mario, Luigi. Yeah. They say Koopa. They don't say Bowser. There's a Yoshi. There's a Peach.
Daisy.
There's a Daisy. I always forget that.
Yeah, Daisy.
Goombas.
I always remember that this was the most like blatant sequel thing tease that I've ever seen in a movie. Because it happens all the time when they tease a movie at the end or a sequel at the end. This one, it's like Mario and Luigi, if I remember, you guys have seen it recently. Aren't they like in their apartment or something back in Brooklyn or something? And Daisy
and
like opens
Daisy the
door and is like,
the door.
You guys aren't going to believe this. And isn't she wearing like Mad Max shit or
She's
something?
She's like covered in soot and holding a huge gun.
Yes. And then they never followed up on that ever.
No, because they would never, ever let them make another one of those.
Do you think there was a plan or do you think they were just like, just look, make her look like she went through some shit and then we'll figure it out?
I've only started digging into the history of this film, but it sounds like whatever plans there may have been, they changed several times during the course of making that movie, and then when it bombed, they made sure that they never did that again.
Isn't there a fucked up, like, deleted cut of, like, some goopy...
Yes.
What's the deal there?
Well, so I haven't watched it. I was going to watch the extra stuff tomorrow, but there is a work print cut that came on one of the more recent Blu-ray releases that adds, like, 20 minutes to the movie. It's just off like a VHS tape someone had of that version of the movie. I believe they call it the Morton Jankel cut because that's the name of the directors. By the way, it's the Max Headroom people that made movie.
Wow.
And yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but my understanding is that it does not make it better, but it maybe does make it a little weirder.
Okay.
Fun. I like weirder.
If you were, I bet everybody who's involved in this new animated Mario Brothers movie is going to make a lot of money.
Well, they're going to make a bunch of them, right?
Yep, they're
like,
going to make a bunch.
Be a huge hit.
They probably
it
have
seems
points
like they're just
on
doing
it.
It right. I'm just basing it off the trailers, but like everything about those trailers, like I don't know how you could do this better. This looks perfect, right?
Well, yeah. I would say it's definitely the like if you're going to make a slick family version of a CG animated Super Mario, yes, you're hitting all the beats.
Yeah.
Like it's all there.
But that's what they should be going for, right? They're not going for Oscar bait with the fucking Mario CG movie. Like I feel like they're just doing exactly what they should given the assignment, you know?
I think that there are ways to do a movie like this that is maybe thinking outside the bun a little bit. I don't know. I really liked Wreck-It Ralph, which I think in many ways is very much like a big commercial studio movie, but I think it was trying something new from what I remember of it.
Yeah. I like
my recollection is
too.
The sequel kind of got a little more generic, which is why no one really talks about it.
I was just thinking like poor Bob Hoskins was like, you know.
Oh, he's a trooper, man.
Just going through the Mario movie and being like, I don't know what any of this is. And if he were doing it, you know, what are we talking? 35, 40 years later? He'd be in that movie and he'd be loaded and would retire. He wouldn't have to do Roger Rabbit. The Roger Rabbit's great.
Roger Rabbit's fantastic. Yeah, right, I mean, if we didn't get Roger Rabbit, well, Roger Rabbit came before this.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah, that was late 80s. This is early 90s.
Okay. Okay.
There is a quote going around. There was a video not that long ago I saw of like an interview he was giving during the time when they were promoting that movie. And it was him describing how his kids showed him the video game after he had signed on to do the film, not really knowing what it was. And it's like, well, what's all this? Because he's very British, by the way.
Really?
I don't know if anyone knows it. Bob Hoskins is incredibly British.
No!
Okay,
what's going on here? Well, that's you, Dad. That's the video game. Oh, I used to do King Lear.
That's crazy.
Like, you could
British?
See the moment, like, the gears turning of, like, fuck, what have I signed up for?
It's British and like a real actor? That's wild.
Oh, Bob Hoskins is like legit.
I thought both of them were perfectly cast.
Who's
Dennis
Koopa?
Hopper?
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper's. Yeah, that
Fiona
was an inspired choice.
She's great.
And fucking Mojo,
Mojo Nixon as Yoshi? No,
as
Toad.
Yoshi is a dinosaur. Yeah.
Yoshi is literally a dinosaur.
Yeah, right. I forgot. Yes.
Also, Lance Henriksen showing up at the very end as the fucking as Daisy's dad.
Oh, is he the original king?
Like, he shows up for literally two lines, and he shows like, Oh, I'm back. Love those plumbers.
Oh, man.
It looks like they took his audition footage and then just put it in the movie.
That's amazing. Present day Vinny here again for one final ad break before we wrap up the show. I hope you're enjoying it. Never Been a Better Podcast. We'll be back right after this.
I go to this physical therapist now, and it's all these dudes that are probably like 50 years old, and they've clearly never played a video game, and they seem like just real kind of like almost blue collar type dudes. And they asked me what I did once, and I tried to explain it. I was like, I play video games, and so they all call me Mr. Beast.
Okay.
Mr. Beast is here. And then the only video game they know is Mario, so they'll be like, hey, it's Mr. Beast. And I'll hear another one of them go like, bap, 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 bap. And then the other one will be like, hey, do you get to 10 million views yet? Do you get to 10 million subscribers there? And it's like, oh, fuck. And I don't know ever. It's like I'm a 40-year-old guy coming in for my fucking carpal tunnel and shit. Like, don't.
That's awesome.
I hate it so much.
That's amazing.
It sucks. Every fucking three times a week. Oh, Mr. Beast is here. Yeah, and you get a bunch of views.
That's so that's fucking terrible.
I fucking hate it. I like want to stop going. I don't care if my hands hurt.
That's like,
that's astonishing.
They know you're not Mr. Beast though, right?
I think they've heard of Mr. Beast probably because of their kids or whatever. Yeah. Oh, jeez. I've tried to explain
what
they
might
I
as
do.
Well be calling you Mr. Internet because they're just saying a name they know from the internet.
Dan, I have a great idea for you. Next time you go in, be like, look, I just lost my job. Please stop. And then start crying.
Yeah.
Please don't ever hum the Mario music again.
Mario killed my father.
Mr. Beast point real quick here. Mr. Beast, very popular on the internet. When I go to upload movies for Nextlander, YouTube movies, we don't have any of the tracking on, so we get the kind of vanilla YouTube, right? So it's always a Mr. Beast video. I wind up like opening in an incognito tab maybe once a month a Mr. Beast video, because this one recently was like, I paid someone to assassinate me.
Ben Hansen, like a month ago, sent me a text at like 8:30 at night being like, hey, do you want to drink and watch Mr. Beast videos with me? And I was
God.
What? And he's like, I'm just morbidly fascinated. Do you want to? It's like, sure, I don't get to hang out with Hansen that often. Let's do this. And so just me and Hansen, not on a stream or anything, he's just queuing up a million Mr. Beast videos, and they're just completely insane. It's all just like, could you survive in this tub of snakes for 6 days? And then you watch it, and then 30 seconds in, it's just a different video. It's like, we built a house with slime. And it never slows down.
I feel like bringing him up as often as we do on this podcast is just going to lead to, as soon as this episode goes up, we find out that his entire fortune is made out of like Nazi gold or something.
Mr. Beast. Oh, yeah.
Mr. Beast is extremely popular with like the kids. I hear Mr. Beast all the time.
Yeah, we were laughing because they showed Mr. Beast's kitchen and he had this like canvas print. This fairly large canvas print of like, you know, that famous Steve Jobs photo where he's got his like hand on his chin. But it was like an abstract, like it was like an artsy version of that. They put through a Photoshop filter and we were just pausing like, of course he has this fucking dumbass Steve Jobs canvas in his kitchen. What a weird thing. We joked about it. Hansen immediately forgot that we had that conversation. I went to a canvas print website and I got one that was like three times bigger than the one Mr. Beast had, and I had it sent to Hansen's house.
Oh, wow. You are Mr. Beast.
And it showed up and he had forgot that we talked about it. And he had to text like me and Tim and be like, did I talk to one of you guys about this? What is this? Why do I have this giant Steve Jobs canvas?
Did he hang it?
He was really a dangerous person to know.
Well, while his wife was in the shower, he replaced, they had this like scenic beach thing above their bed and he took it down and put the Steve Jobs thing up there.
Oh my God.
And I guess when she came out, she just screamed like, Jesus Christ. Like she thought he did it legitimately. And that was a joke. What does that say about you, Hansen, that your wife thinks you would hang a giant Steve Jobs above your mattress?
Just makes me feel good.
I'm inspired. Yeah.
I'm inspired.
Powerful.
YouTube's weird. Unfiltered YouTube is the weirdest YouTube. Yeah. I don't recommend it.
I just feel old whenever I see, like, you know, YouTube,
you are.
TikTok.
We are.
I know, but like, I feel like
I'm
older
Abby's
than my
young.
Years.
Yeah,
she's
got some years
she's not
for now.
Yeah.
Going back to you guys being old, though, Vinny, did you say you upload your Nextlander movies to YouTube?
Did I say movies?
You did say movies.
What do I say? Videos. Sorry.
Like, I
uploaded the next Linder movies to the YouTube.
You're talking.
You know our vids.
This is talkies.
Yeah.
I email them to the YouTubes, and then they go
ship
up
my
on
stories
the web
out
portals.
To the website.
I printed out this YouTube movie, and I don't know how to click on it anymore.
Carol, can you help me download my YouTube movies onto the computer? It's saying I can't do it anymore. It says I'm not old enough,
Look,
so kind of age.
The YouTube movies live on my personal computer. I want to download them to my laptop so I can take them with me.
Oh my god! My grandpa wanted to sell his computer to like a neighbor kid, and like this kid wanted his first computer, and so they wanted to like give it to him, and so they asked me like, well, we want to give it to Johnny or whatever the fuck his name is, but you know, grandpa's stocks are in the computer. And I was like,
oh,
what
no.
do you mean? They're like, well, no, the stocks are in the computer, so we just need to make sure we get them out of there before we give it to the neighbor kid. And it's like, well, they're not in the computer. And like, no, Danny, they are. They are. I've seen him do it. They're in there. And it's like, right. He goes to a site, mm-hmm. and he has to log in, right? He has to type in a name, and he's managing it from there, but they're not physically in there. And she said it with such confidence, like, no, Danny. They're in the computer. We need to get them out.
Did you get
it's
them
like,
out?
Okay, Grandma. It's fucking hammer piggy bank. Just get the stocks out.
Money starts pouring out of the car. Wow, Grandma, you are right.
Just,
yeah.
Here's unbelievable. The stocks.
That will be there. That'll happen to us, I assume. Like,
I used to think
later.
Not.
Yeah,
because like I
will.
Give my dad so much shit for not understanding things or constantly thinking he's going to get a virus if he clicks a link I send him. And he's like, you just wait. There's going to be a point in your life where all of a sudden you're going to be like, I don't understand hover cars. Uh-huh. But it's like, it's not hover cars. It's TikTok. It's like, in the few times that I like go to Instagram and I try to like do a story, like I'm looking at all the icons. I'm like, I don't know what fucking any of this means. So it's mm-hmm. like, I think I'm there. I always thought that I'd be like, no, Dad, I work in games. I have to be on top of this stuff. This is my livelihood. There's no way I'm just going to, you know, fall out. And it's like, no, I'm there. Like, I'm there.
Embrace it.
I don't think it's that my parents or people older don't understand it. Like the cliche said in the VCR, right? It's mm-hmm. like, I think what I realize is like, I don't fucking have the patience to figure this out. And you know how to do it. Just do it for me. Just, you know, hey, can you just set the time on this fucking thing so I don't have to do it? And it's like,
I'm tired of learning stuff.
And also, I don't care if you think I'm an idiot. That's the part. Like, you just don't give a shit what people think of you anymore. You're like, yeah, I'm a fucking idiot. Just, is my clock set? Yeah. Great. Okay, good.
Yeah, like, if it was important to, like, learn TikTok, I'm sure if I just sat down and tried for, like, an hour, I'd pretty much understand the ins and outs of it. But it's like, I don't care. I don't want to, you know? It doesn't really feel bad, though, is the thing.
I know. I feel like that's more what it is you just reach a point where you're like, I don't care anymore. Well, who gives a shit?
You know
shit?
The stuff you like, you're good with it, you don't need to, it's really not that bad.
It's not that bad. It's
only bad if you let it turn you into a crank. Like, if you become a person who is angrily shaking your fist at every new thing that you don't want to learn about, that's where you fuck up.
Yeah.
Well, there's also a part where, like, I ask my kids to really explain something to me. And I'm sure I sound like an idiot, but, you know, I'm genuinely curious. Like, if I'm like, I'm just asking, like, could you use no cap in a sentence?
This pen has no cap.
just for me, boom. Just, I want to understand the proper usage of this.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, look, if you want to speed along the irrelevance of slang you don't understand and don't like, just start using it in front of them as much as possible, and you will drain the coolness out of it like fucking Dracula draining a victim.
My dad will not stop saying poggers, and like, not that that was ever cool, but it's like,
poggers to that, Dan.
I can just imagine your dad saying that shit too. It's like, hey, poggers, huh? Poggers.
He does. Yes.
Oh, that slaps, so to speak.
Yeah.
No,
that's sus.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks.
Gucci.
It's pretty mid.
I'm out of my references that I know.
I'm going to be the cool dad. I don't know about you guys.
Gonna be? You're not yet?
Running out of time, man.
No.
You have two kids.
I feel like you can't be the cool dad until your kids don't want to hang out with you. Like right now, like my kids are still like, oh yeah, let's play video games and do all this stuff. But there's going to be
that. Well, that's how you know you're still the cool dad.
Well, there'll be that turn where they're like, just leave.
When do they start junior high?
My son's in middle school now, but like early middle school. So
I'm talking seventh grade.
Yeah, seventh grade. So
that's the turn.
So like two years. 2 years. Yeah.
High school.
High school
starts earlier.
I think it depends. I was kind of early. So I'm just being
unless you're a real mama's boy or something.
Yeah. Like walking like 30 feet ahead of your parents. So like people don't think you're walking with your parents.
Oh, yeah. I guess that is the phase where everything your parents do is embarrassing suddenly.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Like, yes. Though.
I think I had a weird version of that since like I wanted people to meet my dad. Because like in my head back then, he was the cool dad. It's like, he gets drunk and goes to strip clubs. He's cool. And it's like, as I got older, it's like, oh, wait a minute. No, hang on. Like now, my thinking he wasn't cool happened much later, I think.
So. You would think that I would be the cool dad because I play a bunch of video games with like a bunch of kids that want video games. But I just wind up in these weird things where I'm arguing with a 10-year-old to be like, where they're like, no, the Mario movie's out. It's out now. If you know the right people, you can go see it in like select theaters. And I'm like, I don't think that in the United. You know, I'm like very serious. Like in the United States, or are you talking about in other territories? They're like,
well, Jimmy's uncle works at Nintendo and he's seen it.
I worked at Best Buy and I hated it because I didn't get to talk about video games because I was in the digital imaging department. But I was right next to the media department where people that talked about video games, and I would hear them say things that I knew were complete bullshit, like telling customers that like. Well, hang on. Hold off on getting that GameCube because, look, or was it? Yeah, no, it was hold off on. Basically, Halo is coming to Nintendo. It's like, well, Nintendo bought Halo. So maybe don't worry about that Xbox. Yeah, you want to get the next Nintendo because that'll have Halo on it. Because, look, you didn't hear it from me, but Nintendo bought Halo.
That's a pretty fun racket, though, if you could get it. That's pretty.
Yeah, just lying to people for no reason.
You gotta make your sales. You're trying to sell. I remember somebody trying to sell a Dream. Was it the Dreamcast? I think it was the Dreamcast to somebody instead of them buying a PlayStation and be like, I don't know, that PlayStation seems like it's gonna go out of business. And like in the EB or something, be like, this Dreamcast is Sega. You heard of Sega, right? Like, oh, I've heard of Sega. Like Sega Nintendo. Sony? I don't think so. I don't think so. Dreamcast, you're gonna get it on
there.
There
are no Philips.
Yeah.
I always wanted to just be like the good salesman where it's like they would tell us like, okay, you want to sell the most expensive camera you can with as many accessories as possible. That was the big thing. So that's where the big markup is. And like these, you know, soccer parents would come in and be like, oh yeah, we want to get this camera. Should we get this $1,000 camera? And I'd be like, are you going to be like printing these out and like making posters of them? No, then you don't need that much resolution. Save $800 and get this $200 Kodak here. Like I don't know. I had more loyalty to like these humans that came in and wanted to buy cameras than like the Best Buy Corporation. Like I was a terrible salesman in that way.
Dan,
and then
what
I tried
changed?
To only sell people.
How, like,
what,
what happened? You've lost your roots, Dan.
That's
no,
right.
I would still do the same thing. I used to hang out in fucking Target video game sections and just try to like, you know, help parents find gifts for their kids and stuff. And I didn't even work there.
I believe you 100%. Also, yeah. I've seen your Twitch page.
Yeah, let's not pretend like your allegiances do not lie with the brands.
Yeah. How much
oh,
do you
no,
love
no, no, no.
Bud
if I'm
Light?
Getting paid. Oh, no, no, no. If I'm getting paid by, like, yeah, Bud Light or. But I'm still good about that.
Well, you
I
were getting
to...
paid by Best Buy, is the point, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but fuck them. I'm getting the same fucking salary or fucking hourly pay no matter what.
You weren't
I do.
Getting a commission. Sure. If you were getting a commission, things would be completely different. You'd be selling the most expensive camera you could.
We used to get commission when I was at Funko Land, but it was $2 for every Game Informer subscription and $2 for every, this is how old I was, is the cleaners for like NES and
oh,
PlayStation,
yeah,
where
yeah.
it had the little
oh,
brush
God.
On the underside of the disc,
yeah, yeah.
or the NES cleaners.
That's
and
a racket.
I still didn't feel comfortable selling those, because like Game Informer, sure, I would push that because I liked Game Informer, but like, I don't know, I never felt that those like cleaners, like the PlayStation thing, that didn't really do much. So.
I mean, you could use the Game Informer to clean just as easily. It works
yeah,
just
exactly,
as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, I don't know. I think I've been good about that.
Hey, is Game Informer still putting out magazines?
Yeah.
They are.
Yes, they are.
Oh, okay. Yes, they are. Abby, do you have any magazines you get?
Nope.
Not a one?
Not a one, Vinny. I'm young.
What possible need could someone as young and vivacious as her have for print magazines?
Thank you,
oh, she's reading
Alex?
Her magazines on her iPad like these
exactly?
kids today.
Exactly. No. Yes. Who? I don't... I know very few people who read magazines, and the people who do typically read them because they were gifted them by a grandparent. I like the idea of magazines, but I think with the internet, you read an article online piecemeal from a whole bunch of stuff. You know what I mean?
I have intense nostalgia for magazines. I just remember every
honestly,
day.
Same.
Like, yeah, like 3 o'clock, you know, it was when the mail would come, and I had, it could have been EGM, it could have been Game Informer, Mad, Cracked, WWF Magazine.
Did you
World
get the
Wrestling
Nickelodeon
magazine?
That was the best one.
Yeah, Sports Illustrated for Kids. I had Ranger Rick. I had like all these different subscriptions.
The ones your grandparents got you, highlights? The ones that were always at the dentist's office?
Goofus and Gallant was great. Yep. Yeah, all that stuff was awesome. I have major, major nostalgia for that.
There's something nice about a curated list of articles I wasn't necessarily seeking out, though, in a magazine. Like, I feel like on the internet, you find the thing you're looking for, and you know, you'll get the suggestions because of the algorithm or whatever. But there's something about turning a page and being like, oh, all right, I'll just sit, without having to also read comments. Imagine all the magazines had a comment section like, oh, here are 100. Yeah, here are 152 people's opinions about that article you just read in the magazine.
That's a good point, though, about like finding stuff that you didn't seek out, because like, if I grew up in the internet age, I probably wouldn't be seeking out, you know, reviews of games that I don't think are up my alley. But I remember getting the EGM and the review crew thing of Metal Gear Solid, and I never heard of Metal Gear, didn't know what the fuck it was, wasn't on my radar, wasn't going to look into it. And then just reading them describe it and everything, it's like, oh shit, just because I came upon this review in a magazine, now I'm going to check this out, and it became like my favorite gaming series. So, but I wouldn't have seeked it out, you know?
I think, I would say the analog to that now is probably like word of mouth bubbling up on some kind of network you're in for following games, where people would start talking about Metal Gear in some community you were in online, and you would have caught wind of it there.
Yeah, that's kind of how you learn that.
Yeah, it's the modern magazine. That's the internet. The internet is the modern magazine where I get all my YouTube movies.
Unfortunately, there's only five magazines left, and they're all run by fascists.
I feel like the thing is, though, if you go into a bookstore, there's a billion, million magazines on the most niche things you could ever imagine. It's shocking.
Yeah, like how to start a magazine.
Yes, exactly.
And get it in a bookstore. I haven't been to a bookstore in ages. There's no like local, at least I haven't passed one.
Bookstores.
You might have a local Barnes & Noble if you're lucky, if you have the right strip mall.
There's definitely a Barnes & Noble. I go there with the kids to get books for the kids. But like Barnes & Noble now, like the quaint bookstore.
Yes, in the way that some people talk about Blockbuster as if it is the nostalgic thing people think about with video stores and not the thing that actually killed the entire fucking industry.
Right.
Yes, that is basically how people think of Barnes & Noble now.
Right.
Have you heard about that phenomenon where you walk into a Barnes & Noble and then immediately have to shit? I have not experienced it, but it is apparently like a thing. There's like a Wikipedia page about it.
What? Really?
It's like a thing. Look it up. Dan,
are their bathrooms disgusting because everybody has to like go shit in their bathroom?
I don't know. People have theorized why, if it's like a comfort of the smell of the books or something, but it's like a very specific Barnes & Noble thing. Dan, are you finding it?
A lot of results.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Mariko Aoki phenomenon?
Wait, is it the coffee? Is there a cafe?
Dan, read it.
Okay. Here's the Wikipedia article. There's also a BuzzFeed article about this.
There's no better way to close out this podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not just Barnes & Noble. So the Mariko Aoki phenomenon is a Japanese expression referring to a sudden urge to defecate that is felt upon entering bookstores.
That means
it's named after Mariko Aoki, a woman who described the effect in a magazine published in 1985.
Wow. Honestly, that was brave of her to be like, this must be happening to someone else. Because if it didn't, boy, did she just put something weird in a magazine.
Yeah. Is anybody else? No, nobody?
If I believed I was the only one experience this, I would reach out to to the high heavens looking for anyone else to say, yes, me too.
All right, here's the hypotheses.
Okay.
Possible theories behind the phenomena include the smell of paper or ink having a laxative effect, the association with reading on the toilet at home, and the posture of browsing making bowel movement easier. The evidence for these explanations, however, remains weak.
We gotta get to the bottom of this.
Checks out, really.
I know we're trying to cure hunger and disease and all that shit, but I think we need to rocket this one up the top of the priority list.
Yeah, right. I can't wait for the presidential debates where it's coming up about
green energy. Fuck that. Why are we shitting in bookstores?
Oh, BuzzFeed talked to Nurse Susan Wong from Butt Talks TV about this.
Amazing. My favorite TV channel.
They've gone to the scientists.
Okay. Is it discredited?
Possibilities. There's a lot of hypotheses here, but nothing that, no.
You can't just call something Butt Talks TV.
Why not?
That's not allowed.
Agree to disagree, Alex.
I think you can.
I think you should leave bit.
It's a website, butttalkstv.com is the website.
Hey, yeah, no free promotions here.
That's a good, they got a little mascot guy.
Does it look like a butt with a mouth?
Yeah.
Is it talking out the hole?
Is it Assy
yeah,
McGee?
Yeah, you should look at Buttocks TV. This is
I'm
good.
Doing it.
It's like an old nurse. She's been a nurse for over 40 years, and it's just like well, seems
what
like
what does she have to
pooping.
Say? What does she say?
She wrote a book called The Power of Pooping.
Yeah.
There's
top
a lot
five
here.
Butt ointments.
Oh, look at that little butt. It is cute.
It's a cute butt.
Oh,
let's see, there's a
I
shop.
Love her.
What's on the shop at Buttocks TV? They got butt cleaning, butt acne, butt creams, butt wipes, diarrhea, exercise, gas and bloating. Wow, lots of stuff for your butt here. Hemorrhoids, poop tools. I'm going to click
poop
tools.
Poop tools?
Safe
sex. Is it just like a bunch of bookstores?
Wait, I click poop tools.
Picture of a Barnes &
Noble. It takes me down. There's nothing there. There's no poop tools.
Poop tools were inside you all along, Dan. It's your rectum.
Maybe it's...
How many subscribers do you think Buttocks TV has on YouTube?
I hope 500 at least.
I was going to say 150,000.
Okay.
I'll split the difference and I will say 50,000.
12.1
million.
That no, seems, yeah.
Price
I feel
is
like
right
if
rules.
Your website is unfinished like this one is, you can't have too many. You know what I mean?
No.
No.
Do you think, is it Miss Nurse Wong, right? Is that what yes. it goes in when she goes to get Corporal Tuttle and they go, oh, Mr. Beast is here with the butts.
Look, you've been playing them video games? That's why you got all them butt problems, yeah, huh?
Mr. Beast with the butt talks. That's a. Where'd you got more poop tools for us? What's going on?
Oh, God. I don't think your shop links are working.
I tried to buy some good butt paraphernalia and get on there. Wait, she's got a Patreon link.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
What's she rocking? Wow.
The Patreon
printable
butt 10 talks.
Poop commandments.
Oh, that's awesome.
You can receive a commandments PDF.
Dan, I need you to come over here. I need you to get the 10 poop commandments out of my computer. They're on my computer and I can't get them out.
No, they're in there, Dan. Oh, they're in there.
What do you think they are? Wait, is there a list?
You're going to have to join to find out, I think.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you only get
that's
those.
That's how they
get you. Yeah, you get those at every tier, so don't worry about it.
Zero patrons, $0 per month.
Oh,
can you please join, Dan? You sent a giant canvas painting of Steve Jobs. You could help.
I could join there's only 10 out of 10 remaining of the one-on-one video calls with Nurse Wong. That's $100 a month, and I can have one-on-one calls with her about butts.
What would you ask
Whoa,
her?
For 20 a month, Buttocks TV wallpapers and graphics.
Okay.
That's pretty good, Dan.
There's a Discord.
That's a good
There's
deal.
A Discord.
Dan, you got to join the butt Discord. It's going to be just you.
I'm just in a Discord with Dr. Wong.
For all of that money, you could probably just get Sir Mix-a-Lot to do a cameo for you.
That's true.
He but really you want
support?
Some butt talk.
Yeah.
But if you can get a wallpapers and graphics, you should know what those wallpapers... You would want a butt talks wallpaper.
I mean, the graphic design's not bad here. These butts are pretty cute.
It's sleek. Her Patreon looks good.
Yeah, it does. It does.
We're going to send
we're
people
gonna
over there.
Change. Yeah, we she's going to
be
get,
amazing.
This is going to drop, bunch. And suddenly she's going to have the most subscribers.
Bring her on to the next episode. That's a one-on-one video call.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's a pretty expensive tier.
I make her play Mario Party with me. That's my one-on-one video call.
Yeah. It's only 30 minutes, so okay. You're going to have to right. maybe the new Mario Party. All right. All right. Let's wrap this up. Thanks, Nurse Wong, for the butt talk. We appreciate it. Butt health is still health, you know? Take care of your...
No, it's important. Yeah. You're never going to not get people to laugh when you talk about it.
Yeah.
It's objectively funny.
That's the fun
Watch
of butts.
Your ass. Yeah, butts.
Oh,
there
nice.
You go. That's good. That's good. Maybe you can work with Nurse Wong and develop some of this stuff. Get that brand going.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Abby Russell.
Thank you, Vinny Caravella.
Thank you very much, Dan Reichert.
Anytime. It's always a blast.
I'm pretty sure we could safely say, Alex Navarro, would you agree? Never been a better podcast?
I agree.
I agree. It's March Madness here. The sports are happening. Never been a better podcast. I don't know.
Wow, that drink's getting on top of you at the end here, isn't it? All right.
It's all the poop talks kicking in.
It really gets everything. Yeah, moving. Moving. Like bowels. Thanks everybody for joining. Yeah, you guys got there. It took a second. Bounce. But we got there. Bounce. Thanks, everybody, for joining. We'll be back again for Never Been a Better Podcast next month. Great seeing you guys, as always.
Great seeing you.
Yeah, thank you. See you next month, everyone. Bye.